Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Hunting the Jackal is a military memoir that traces the extraordinary arc of Billy Woh's long service in America's Shadow Wars, spanning roughly half a century across Special Forces and CIA assignments. Known for operating in small teams, living among partner forces, and enduring harsh conditions, Woh presents a career shaped by unconventional warfare, intelligence collection, and direct action against hostile networks. The book situates personal experience inside major turning points of U.S. national security history, from Cold War contests through later counter-terror campaigns. Rather than a broad textbook on geopolitics, it reads as a grounded account of how missions are built from tradecraft, relationships, and persistence, especially when operating far from conventional support. The narrative also highlights the human cost of long deployments, the pressure of high-stakes decisions, and the ethical tension of working in arenas where clear lines are rare. For readers interested in first-person perspectives on special operations and intelligence work, it offers a vivid window into the realities behind headlines. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from conventional soldier to unconventional operator. A central theme is the professional evolution required to move from traditional military roles into the mindset of unconventional warfare. The story emphasizes how special forces culture prizes adaptability, cultural awareness, and mission ownership over rigid checklists. Training is only a starting point. The real differentiator becomes the ability to assess people quickly, build trust with local partners, and improvise under ambiguity. Woh's career illustrates how the operator is often diplomat, trainer, scout, and fighter in the same day, and how credibility is earned by competence and consistency rather than rank alone. The book also highlights the grind behind elite reputations, long periods of preparation, discomfort, and repetition that make decisive moments possible. Readers see that success is frequently defined by small choices, such as how to approach a village leader, how to interpret a half-reliable report, or how to move quietly without escalating a situation. This topic frames the memoir as more than action, showing how a long career is built by mastering basics and then applying them creatively in complex environments. Secondly, life in the shadows, the CIA, and the discipline of tradecraft. The memoir underscores how intelligence work differs from purely military operations, even when both involve danger. Instead of focusing only on firefights, it highlights the patient mechanics of finding information, validating it, and turning it into operational advantage. The reader is exposed to the logic of tradecraft cover, surveillance awareness, careful communication, and the need to manage risk while still moving the mission forward. Another key element is the relationship between collectors, analysts, and decision makers, and how delays, bureaucratic friction, or imperfect data can shape outcomes. Woh's experience conveys that intelligence success is often invisible, measured by what does not happen and by opportunities created quietly over time. It also illustrates the psychological burden of operating without public recognition and with limited margin for error. The book suggests that the most valuable skills are emotional control and disciplined habits, because a single lapse can compromise a network or endanger partners. This topic helps readers understand that modern counterterror and counterinsurgency efforts rely on the slow accumulation of human insight as much as on technology or firepower. Thirdly, hunting high-value targets and the logic of persistence. As the title implies, pursuit of dangerous adversaries is a driving thread, and the memoir portrays manhunting as a long campaign rather than a single dramatic raid. The narrative highlights how targets move, adapt, and hide inside social systems, requiring investigators and operators to map relationships, finances, travel patterns, and safe havens. It illustrates a cycle of leads, dead ends, reassessments, and renewed collection, with progress often coming from incremental gains rather than one perfect breakthrough. The book emphasizes persistence as a tactical virtue, returning to the same problem repeatedly, refining assumptions, and staying mission-focused even when success seems distant. It also points to the moral and strategic tension of targeted operations, where pressure to act must be balanced against certainty, collateral risk, and second-order effects on local communities. Readers come away with a sense of how high-value targets become symbols that drive policy and morale, even as the work of finding them is messy and uncertain. The topic provides a practical view of how human networks are dismantled and why patience can be as decisive as speed. Fourthly, working with partners' culture, trust, and local realities. Another important focus is the necessity of working alongside host nation forces, informants, and community leaders. The memoir shows that foreign internal defense and advisory missions depend on trust built through respect, reliability, and an understanding of local incentives. Language barriers, tribal or factional divisions, and competing loyalties complicate every decision, making cultural competence a survival skill rather than a nice addition. The book suggests that the best operators learn to listen, to recognize what matters locally, and to avoid imposing assumptions that might work at home but fail in the field. It also highlights the ethical complexity of partnerships where allies may have their own agendas, and where short-term cooperation can collide with long-term stability. Readers see that influence is often achieved through small gestures and consistent behavior, such as sharing hardship, keeping promises, and acknowledging local authority. This topic helps explain why counterterror and counterinsurgency efforts can succeed tactically, yet struggle strategically if relationships are mishandled. The memoir presents partnership as both the most powerful tool and the most fragile dependency in a regular conflict. Lastly, resilience, aging in the field, and the cost of service. A distinctive aspect of Waugh's story is longevity, including continued operational involvement at ages when most people have long retired. This invites reflection on resilience, physical durability, and the mental habits that keep someone functional under repeated stress. The memoir conveys how experience can become a force multiplier, pattern recognition, calm decision-making, and the ability to anticipate problems before they erupt. At the same time, it acknowledges the accumulating costs of decades of danger and separation, including injuries, fatigue, and the strain placed on personal relationships. The reader is prompted to consider how identity can become intertwined with service, creating both purpose and a difficulty in stepping away. The book also touches on the reality that institutional memory is valuable but not always preserved, and that lessons are sometimes relearned at high cost. This topic broadens the memoir beyond missions into a meditation on endurance and sacrifice. For civilians, it provides a clear understanding of what long-term national security work demands from individuals and families, and why the consequences can persist long after deployments end. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a first-person view of Special Forces and CIA-era operations, including military history enthusiasts, students of intelligence and counterterrorism, and professionals curious about how missions are executed at ground level. It will also appeal to anyone interested in resilience and performance under pressure. Because the narrative repeatedly returns to preparation, discipline, and persistence as the traits that keep people alive and effective. And if the benefits are practical, and human readers can take away lessons about decision-making with incomplete information, building trust across cultures, and staying steady when outcomes are uncertain. Unlike many similar books that emphasize gear, tactics, or cinematic action, Hunting the Jackal stands out for the breadth of time it covers and the consistent focus on the unglamorous work that makes operations possible. That long horizon helps readers see how threats evolve and how individual experience accumulates into judgment. It is worth buying if you want a memoir that connects personal grit to the larger machinery of national security without turning into a detached policy argument. It offers perspective that is difficult to get from news coverage or purely academic accounts. If you would like to support Billy Waugh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.